Right on cue with me is my regular Wednesday guest now. That's our medicine lady. She's in the studio. That's Dr. Alex Bernhardi, a long-standing doctor in the Douglas Shire, Mossman to be precise. Once again, welcome to Fab.
Hello, good afternoon, Gary.
Now, it is a beautiful afternoon, a little bit windy around the edges, a little bit cool, I would say. And one tends to think of winter in terms of colds and flu, but somebody said, and it makes a lot of sense to me, it's not really the cold that makes you ill. It's actually the bugs that are created, maybe as a result of the cold. I don't know. Maybe these are some of the questions we can answer today. Let's start, though, firstly. A doctor friend of mine in New Zealand used to say people would come in and they'd say, I've got a bit of flu, doc, assuming they've got the flu. But there is a big difference, as I understand it, between full-blown flu, influenza, and, say, a common cold. So maybe we could start by just sort of giving us a rough idea of the differences and the symptoms and the differences in the symptoms that you'd have between the two.
So as a rule of thumb, the proper flu is definitely a more severe illness than a cold. Both illnesses are caused by viruses. However, the viruses are different types of viruses. The normal common cold typically starts with a stuffy nose, congestion, you're sneezing, then you get a scratchy throat, you've got a bit of a thumping head, and maybe you feel a bit hot. Whereas the proper influenza typically starts very suddenly, more with a dry cough. You can get a high fever and you can get chills, and generalized aches and pains. So the influenza is more of a systemic disease, whereas the common cold shows more topical symptoms.
Would it be fair to say that the flu is generally more serious than the common cold?
Absolutely. Mm. And that is mostly because of the incidence of complications that we can get from falling sick with the influenza.
How is it spread? We hear about the old saying, coughs and sneezes spread diseases. And I think we're a little bit more onto that these days. And we've got these wonderful little sprays and things that we can use, which I think probably help. But you may or may not disagree with that. But, I mean, how, as a general term, how is it spread? I guess sneezing is one of those.
You're absolutely right. Mm. Both of these diseases are caused by droplets. So sneezing, coughing will transmit the virus. The virus can survive even on, you know, metal handlebars or, you know, the shopping trolley. It can survive for, I'm not quite sure, maybe like up to a day or so. And then you would transfer the virus through your contact with the hand to the mouth or your eyes. And that's how the disease starts.
So once you've got it, obviously you're contagious. But again, you hear all these rumours. This is the thing, especially with Mr. Google out there these days. It's even worse. But you hear these rumours, you know, you're more contagious when you first get a bug, or you're only contagious after you've got rid of it. Or, you know, what are the rules with, say, with the flu? Are there any periods when you are and aren't, or just be careful right through, I guess?
The worst phase is probably the day before you are showing symptoms, because you are completely unaware that you are already sick, and that is when the biggest risk for you to spread it to others exists. As a rule of thumb, we say that you are probably contagious for a week after you start with the symptoms, and the most important advice really from the public health aspect is to stay at home during that week. Otherwise, you are spreading it around.
Don't be a hero at work.
Absolutely.
Indeed. And I've been guilty of that before, I do have to say. Now then, we've talked about the slight differences. Slight's probably not actually a good word. There's some vast differences between the common cold and the flu in terms of its seriousness. What about treatments? What are there different treatments that you'd use if someone's actually diagnosed with full-blown influenza?
If you are diagnosed with influenza but you don't have any complication at that stage, it is just common sense. It is staying at home, resting, sleeping as much as possible, and making sure that you stay hydrated. That's probably the most important treatment. If patients then develop complications, that's when they require specific treatments. And that's when you would need your GP to diagnose your complication.
Now, I remember having a bug, and this was back in New Zealand, and I felt rough for about 4 weeks. And here we go again, another week. I sort of got over it for a week, and then it sort of came back. It may have been a completely different bug. Is that fairly unusual? I mean, how long would you normally expect with, say, the flu to be rough?
It really depends on your condition, on your overall condition when you started contracting the flu. If you've got a good immune system, you've got a good healthy lifestyle, you don't have any chronic conditions, and you are looking after your nutrition and your stress management, then you should expect to recover fairly quickly. The fact that you said that you've felt rather unwell for 4, 5, 6 weeks afterwards, that really should get you thinking, well, what was wrong with your immunity in the first place?
Very good point. When should you see the GP? You mentioned already if there's particular complications beyond the normal flu symptoms, definitely. But if you're feeling a little bit under the weather, some of the symptoms you've mentioned, should you see the GP or should you just try and work through it initially with those, hydration and other methods that you mentioned?
If you are otherwise a healthy adult, then it is best to just stay at home and ask for some good old home remedy recipes. But if you have a very young child who is sick, or if you are an elderly patient with other chronic conditions, then you probably should give your GP surgery a call first to see what their policies are, and then your GP will advise you if it would be a good idea for you or for your child to come to the surgery.
I want to talk about vaccination in a moment, but thinking about prevention generally, obviously, you could lock yourself in the house forever and you might come up against nothing. But, I mean, everyone's out and about. They're meeting people. We had the Mossman show and I met an old friend and she said, I'm all under the weather. And I'm thinking, here we go. Thank you very much. But, I mean, what can we do, or can we do anything to prevent colds and flus?
Absolutely. By looking after your lifestyle issues in the first place. So the things that we touched on, nutrition, enough sleep, exercise, all these kind of things will definitely help you to be able to fight an influenza virus very, very well, and you don't suffer too much. And otherwise, as you said, staying at home at the first sign of the disease.
Okie doke. Now, vaccination, and I suppose the flu jab is one we hear about, very popular certainly around the world with elderly people. They seem to be very much encouraged to have it. But I see it's amongst the general public, recommendations and commercials on the TV. But a lot of people love it. A lot of people think it's a very bad thing. So let's talk about vaccination in terms of flu. And think about the flu jab. Where would you, if dare I ask, where would you sit with that, Dr. Alex?
There's definitely no one-size-fits-all solution to that. The government is recommending and encouraging everybody to get a flu vaccination. And that is simply because if you look at it from the public health perspective, you definitely would want to inhibit the spreading of the influenza in the first place. Funding exists for special at-risk groups of patients, which are the very young, the chronically ill, or the elderly. And if you belong to any of these groups, I would suggest that you should discuss your individual situation with your GP, who knows you best and who can give you the best advice if you indeed are an at-risk patient or not.
Now, I mentioned at the very beginning of our chat this afternoon that it seems to be winter time, the colder times of the year. I know we don't sort of have winter in the tropics quite as bad as some parts of the world, but would that be the sort of time when, just prior to winter, when people would be generally looking at having the jab? Is there a particular time that you would recommend?
In the tropics, we don't have these severe peaks in winter that we see in the more temperate regions. So therefore, in up here in the Douglas Shire, we need to be a little bit aware of that the flu can go around basically throughout the year. However, with visitors coming from temperate areas, they definitely bring along the flu virus during the winter time. So that's why we do see, even in the tropical areas, one peak of influenza during these months now. Typically, the new annual flu vaccinations, they get released in late March or April. And that would then cover you for roughly 6 months, which should bring you over the coldest months.
So really, after that 6 months, if we're coming into the summer period, would you advise that people have it again, or just that once a year for that 6 month period?
Typically, it is just once a year. In very, very rare cases, would we recommend to give another booster after 6 months. That's for example, for people who are traveling a lot, or who know that they might need to undergo any chemotherapy treatment, things like that. So that would be definitely a very individual decision.
And again, a little bit of a confusion. People have talked about this particular vaccination, the flu jab. Is it free, or is it just for certain groups, certain ages?
The government funds it for certain at-risk groups. That's patients over 65, very young children, and patients who have a chronic condition, such as diabetes or asthma. For everybody else, I forgot to mention that for Indigenous patients, it is free as well, the vaccination as such. Everybody else can obtain it on a script from the chemist.
And I suppose a big question that you would no doubt have been asked in your time as a GP, can you actually get ill from the jab? Can you get the flu? Can it make you worse than before you had it?
It is really not possible, because the virus in the influenza vaccine is dead. So therefore you cannot get the proper flu. However, you can get some adverse reactions from it, which are basically symptoms of your immune system responding to the vaccination. So it's really a good thing if you feel a slight side effect from the vaccination, because it just means, yes, your immune system has picked up on it and is producing antibodies.
Maybe the point from where you started, if your immune is particularly low, could that mean that even though you've had the flu jab, there's still a chance you could get flu?
Unfortunately, yes. The flu needle is not 100% efficient. It depends on your individual situation, on your age. The older you get, the less likely your immune system will pick up on it and will respond, or just a little bit. And it can also vary from year to year.
And just as a final thought, as a GP and as a Douglasshire GP, Dr. Alex, our medicine lady, do you think there are genuine benefits from vaccination?
There is definitely a benefit from vaccination in general, and I think that it is a great achievement of our modern medicine that we do have vaccination. The amount of vaccination and who gets vaccinated, as I mentioned earlier, I think that sometimes needs to be discussed on a more individual level.
Okie doke. Well, I guess, as in the case with most medicine, each case is different. If you are feeling a bit under the weather and you are concerned, certainly go and see your GP. But look after yourself is a key thought, as you've suggested. Dr. Alex Bernhardi, our resident medicine lady, thanks for all your thoughts today, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Gary.
Absolute pleasure. There you go. We hope that's helped a little bit for you if you are feeling a bit flu-y through some changeable weather that we've had. But, you've heard some advice there, which I think will hopefully be very useful.